Once again, let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 as we look at our walk in joy. Christians are to walk in love. Even as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, we are to walk in purity, laying aside the filthiness of the flesh. We are to walk in light, since we are no longer children of darkness, but children of light. We are to walk in wisdom, redeeming the time because the days are evil, walking circumspectly. We're to walk in the Spirit, having the Spirit in our life, controlling the direction that we go, controlling our thoughts, our energy, our actions, and we are to walk in joy. Last week we looked at verse 19. Walking in joy causes us to sing. God has put a new song in our heart, and we are to sing to ourselves, to one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord. He is the audience. He is the one to whom we sing. Our heart responds to him in love and appreciation for all he has done. We said the joyful walk is a musical walk. The Spirit-filled walk is a musical walk. And we're going to look at those two same ideas today in the area of thankfulness, because I believe that singing and thankfulness go together under the category of walking in joy. Walking in joy is a thankful walk. Excuse me. Once again, dear Father, I need your help this morning. In the weakness of my flesh, I pray that you would speak clearly. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have his will in each of our lives, mine certainly included. There are things that we need to listen for today as the Holy Spirit seeks to make application to each of our lives. There might be someone here today who needs a Savior, and to them I pray you would speak very clearly concerning your love, the offering of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, for our sins, that through him we can have eternal life. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather outside. Thank you for the joy in our heart and the warmth of the family inside. In Jesus' name, amen. The joyful walk is a thankful walk. In his gospel account, Luke tells the story of Jesus who encountered one day 10 men who were all lepers. They cried out to him. They begged him for mercy. He showed mercy. He reached out. He touched them. And he told them, go show yourselves to the priest. That was the Old Testament way of showing publicly that they had been cleansed from their leprosy and could now come back into and be a part of society by showing themselves to the priest. But in so going to the priest, these 10 men realized they had been cleansed. They had been healed of leprosy. How many of these 10 men do you think came back to give thanks to the Lord Jesus? That's right, just one. Just one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and the Bible says with a loud voice, glorified God. And Jesus answering says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this one stranger. Theologians tell us that that word stranger means that he was a Samaritan. Of all people, a Samaritan came back to give glory to God. And he said unto this stranger, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. A medieval legend tells us of two angels that were sent to the earth by the Lord with the instructions, I want you to go gather the prayers of the saints. One of the angels was to gather petitions only. The other angel was to gather thanks only. Petition and thanks. The angel who was assigned to gather petitions came back to heaven with his arms full. There were more than he could contain. He had to make several trips. The angel that was sent to gather thanks came back with one small bundle in one hand. That is the truth that this legend unfolds, the sad truth that God's children are more prone to ask than to give thanks. Psalms, I've been studying the book of Psalms because in a little over a week I'll be teaching in the Fellowship of Bible Churches pastoral training program, the poetical books of the Bible, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And so in studying the Psalms, I've learned that Psalms is the praise hymnal, the songbook of ancient Israel. And the Psalms contain much more praise than they do petition. The giving of praise and thanksgiving to God, that's really what the Psalms are mostly all about. The Psalms teach us that believers are to come into the Father's presence through thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Do we do that? When you come to Sunday school and when you come to church on Sunday morning, do you enter through the doors with thanksgiving in your hearts, with thanks on your lips to God for all that he has done for us, for what he has given to us? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, again it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's telling us when to give thanks, for what to give thanks, to whom to give thanks, and how we are to give thanks. This is the way the Spirit-filled believer is to give thanks. Very simple answers, all answered right there in that verse. When are we to be thankful, believers? When?
Always.
Always. The believer who is thankful always is the one who recognizes who God is. He recognizes the holiness and the almighty power of God. He recognizes the deliverance of God of his people from sin. He recognizes that God is supreme, that he has authority over his life. He recognizes that God is the one to whom we give an account at the final judgment seat. He understands that God is working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so, again, because God is sovereign and in control, we know we can trust him. I'm thankful that I can trust God today. The world who does not have God, as we learned earlier in this book of Ephesians, they do not have Christ and they do not have God in their heart. To whom could they be thankful if they wanted to be? They have no God, no true God, no living God, no God who is on the throne, no God who lives eternally, no God who loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins on the old rugged cross. We have a God. We have a God who's in control. Some theologian has suggested that there are three levels of thanksgiving that I'd like to share with you today. The first level of thanksgiving is the people who are thankful whenever they receive a blessing. You say, well, of course, isn't that when you're supposed to be thankful, when you receive a blessing? They just got a new job, or they just got over a sickness, or they just received an unexpected financial blessing. They're happy, they're grateful, they want to give thanks. The Song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. Most of that chapter expresses the thankfulness of God's children after just being delivered from Egypt. Of course they're thankful. God has just done an amazing thing. God is fulfilling his promise to take them to the promised land. And then after Moses gives thanks, the women of Israel, they lift their voices in song and praise. And it's a beautiful and genuine expression of gratitude to God, because they have just received an amazing blessing from God. A lot of Christians realize and recognize and respond to the fact that when they receive a tremendous blessing, they do give thanks to God. I thank God for that. And then there are some people that are also thankful for blessings they are about to receive. Haven't received them yet, but they've asked God for them. And they've prayed and they've asked God to do something or to provide something. And in fact, they're thanking God already because they're anticipating the fact that God is going to respond. He is going to answer their prayer. They're thanking God before the blessing ever comes. And thanking God in that way is more difficult than thanking God after you've received the blessing because it requires faith. Sometimes I wonder if God waits and sees if we are going to give thanks before the blessing comes. And perhaps that's why we don't quite as often as we should see things that we have asked for granted to us. Because as children of God, we should trust Him that much. Amen? Amen. To thank God as soon as we ask that He is going to respond. Even if the answer is no. Again, we know that God is in control. He knows what's best for us. You know, I didn't always give my children everything they asked for. And sometimes they were disappointed when the answer was no. But they knew it was because I loved them. They knew it was because I felt they either weren't ready for what they were asking for or it wasn't going to be something that I felt would be good for them. And that's the way God is. And God teaches us to pray through Paul, who said in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving. When you pray, pray with thanksgiving. And let your requests be made known unto God. As Jesus stood over the tomb of Lazarus, Lazarus was still dead. He was still in the tomb. He hadn't come forth yet, and Jesus prayed and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I thank Thee that Thou knew, I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. Jesus had total confidence in His Father in heaven. He had confidence that His Father hears and answers prayer, and He looked forward to the victory before it took place. The second level of thanksgiving is being able to be thankful in anticipation that you are going to receive a blessing that you have asked for. And then there's that third level of thanksgiving. We should be thankful to God in the midst of a battle. In the midst of a battle. While we are still undergoing trouble, testing, even when it looks like the enemy is winning or we are failing or the trial is too overwhelming, we should give thanks to God for all things. When Daniel heard that King Darius had signed the decree forbidding the Jews to worship any god or man other than the king himself, Daniel, what did he do? He immediately, the Bible says, went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks. He was under the threat of death. If you get caught praying, you're going to the lion's den. But that didn't stop him. He not only prayed to God as he did before times, but he gave thanks to God for the trial that he was going through. Though his life was at risk, he thanked God because God deserved the thanks, whether it be by life or by death. And Peter and some of the apostles in Jerusalem who had been flogged and ordered not to speak any more in the name of Jesus, it says they departed from the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Acts 5:41. They were rejoicing in the midst of the battle. When things weren't going so well, when things looked dark and grim, They rejoiced, they gave thanks. In his prison cell in Rome on Sunday night, we're studying the life of the Apostle Paul. We're getting near the end of his journey toward Rome. In that prison cell, in that rented house in Rome where Paul spent the last days of his life awaiting trial and execution. While there, faithfulness. He wrote a letter to the Philippian church in which he gave thanks for their faithfulness and for the work God was continuing to do in them. And he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 4, he gives the instructions, the command, the exhortation, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Three levels of thanksgiving. Our level of thanksgiving reflects our level of maturity in Christ. Johnny Erickson Tata, as you know, she's a paraplegic. She has been for many years. She is a very joyful and thankful person. She said, giving thanks is not a matter of how I feel, but it's a matter of obedience. We're to thank God because God said, be thankful. The Bible tells us to give thanks. Paul instructs us to give thanks always. For what are we to give thanks? All things. All things. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Spirit-filled believer sees God's wise and loving hand in the difficulties, in the trials that he goes through, as well as the blessings in the times of prosperity. So he gives thanks for all things at all times. He thanks God for his job, even though it's demanding and unfulfilling at times. He thanks God for his health, even though it's far from being what he would like it to be. He thanks God even when his dearest loved one passes away, saying with Job, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Spirit-filled Christian gives thanks because he knows that all things are for the glory of God, 2 Corinthians 4:15. For what are we to give thanks? We are to give thanks for all things. To whom are we to give thanks? To whom are we to be thankful? Unto God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To God, we thank our Heavenly Father just as our Lord Jesus Christ himself did while he was here on earth. In giving thanks to the Father, we recognize that Jesus understood that every good gift and every perfect gift, every spiritual blessing comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James 1:17. In giving thanks to our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we have received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in him. Ephesians 1:3, we've been studying the book of Ephesians, the theme of which is the spiritual riches we have in Christ Jesus. We are thankful to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And even those things come many times through the hands of other people, other saints. We should be grateful. We should be grateful for everything that other people do for us. We should be grateful and we should thank other people for their kindness and their goodness to us. And then finally, how? How are we to be thankful? We are to be thankful in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bill touched on this in Sunday school this morning. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to be thankful, as Paul is saying here, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? When the Spirit-filled believer gives thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Listen, he is recognizing what Jesus Christ has done. He is recognizing who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. He is the Savior. He can be the Savior because he is the Son of God. And when he came into this earth, he came as the sinless Son of God, whose blood was not tainted with sin like your blood and my blood and every person ever born since Adam except for him. He was born of a virgin. His blood was the blood of the Son of God, holy and without stain. And since it was holy and without stain, it was the blood of the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for the sins of the world. When we pray, when we give thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, we are giving thanks in the name of the one who has died for us. And we are giving thanks in the name of the one who spent 3 days in the grave for you and I. We are giving thanks in the name of the one who rose from that grave and is alive forevermore. Amen. We're giving thanks because he is our Savior and Lord. How did he become our Savior and Lord? He died for us. The cross is our mandate to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul did this when he uttered those soul-stirring words in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." A spirit-filled Christian recognizes that he has Christ living in him. We've talked about this in Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus says, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." John 14:20. We should be thankful that Jesus is alive and he lives in you and I. If he doesn't live in you this morning, it means that you are not a child of God and you are not going to heaven and you need to be saved. You need to invite him into your heart and life. A spirit-filled Christian recognizes that Christ is living in him. A spirit-filled Christian recognizes that he has become not only a child of God, but an heir of God. He is extremely, unbelievably, inexplicably rich with the blessings of God in his life. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. A spirit-filled Christian recognizes that his citizenship is in heaven. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Things to be thankful for. How are we to be thankful? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because every one of these things are ours, they're yours, they're mine, they're spiritual blessings in heavenly places, because Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Wow, what blessings. That's why we are to pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray, we are to pray with thanksgiving. He has all of the spirit-filled believer has all of Christ's promises made certain through the Holy Spirit who dwells within him. Ephesians 1:13-14, "In whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory." The Holy Spirit who is living in you guarantees that you're going to receive every single one of these blessings. Another reason to be thankful for all things at all times to God the Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The joyful walk is a thankful walk. And as the subject on music and singing had two parts, this one also has two parts. Not only is the joyful walk a thankful walk, but the Spirit-filled walk is a thankful walk. It implies, of course, that the Holy Spirit not only lives in you and I. We've studied the theology of that. We know that it's true that God lives in us. The Holy Spirit has come and taken up residence in us. He wants to be on the throne of our lives, giving us instruction, teaching us, comforting us, abiding in us, that we would walk in the likeness of God the Father. And so a mark, an identification mark of an unsaved person, because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit living in him, and he is not a child of God, and he doesn't have any of the blessings that we've just described, the unsaved person is a thankless person. Characteristic of his life is thanklessness or unthankfulness. Romans 1, verses 20 and 21. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. The unsaved people were not thankful from the very beginning of time when God revealed himself to them, even through the things that he made. They did not acknowledge that he was God, and they were not thankful to him. And the Bible says that in the last days, the days in which we are living right now, folks, in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. 2 Timothy 3:2. A mark of the unsaved person is thanklessness or unthankfulness. But a mark of the saved person, the mark or the identification tag of a saved person, a person who knows Jesus Christ, is giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The believer is overflowing with gratitude, Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That word abounding means a cup that's just running over. It can't contain all the blessings, but the blessings still keep being poured in and it's just running over, it's overflowing. That's the way our heart should be. That's the way our life should be in gratitude to God. It should just be flowing over. It shouldn't be an angel carrying just a little tiny handful of thanks to God. It should be more than he could carry. And he offers the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of his lips, giving thanks to his name. Again, the name of Jesus Christ. Why do we pray and why do we give thanks in the name of Jesus? Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the truth, the message of salvation that God makes so simple that a child can understand it. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ, I want you to know something today. If you've never heard this message before, or if you've heard it 1,000 times, but it just hasn't really reached your heart, it's still up here in your head, but it needs to get to your heart this morning. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth because we are sinners. And God loved us so much, he didn't want us to perish. And that Son of God, Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sins because his perfect sinless blood was an acceptable sacrifice to God. He was the Lamb of God without blemish that could take away the sin of the world. And he was buried after being crucified on that cross. And he rose again the third day and he lives evermore. And Jesus says, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. You will not die the second death, which is eternal separation from God. If you're here this morning and you're afraid of dying, you know, as an 8-year-old boy, you know why I came to Jesus Christ? I've shared my testimony with you. As an 8-year-old boy, I was afraid of dying. You say, what reason would an 8-year-old have to be afraid of dying? I have no idea, but I was afraid I would die, and I knew that I was not ready to go to heaven. If I died, I would go to hell. And I said, dear Jesus, if you love me the way the Bible says you do, please save me. You know, it doesn't take rocket science. You don't have to be a person who can pray some eloquent prayer to God. God hears the simple prayer of a sinner that says, oh God, save me. He'll hear that prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We cannot thank you enough. We can never thank you enough. Lord, teach us to be thankful at all times for all things, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We ask that you will do, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and lives, that you would do what only God can do. In Jesus' name, amen.